This is the world broadcast of Imam Waqif Deen Muhammad Speaks, the program that's dedicated to community development and human dignity. And now, Imam Waqif Deen Muhammad.
God is going to awake us, not put us to sleep. The hope of the people is that God will one day awake them, not put them to sleep. So who is this God in the Bible now that's putting the man to sleep? It must be one of these fellows that operate on us, right? When they want to operate on the form that God made, they put us to sleep if it's going to be painful. Unbearable. Then they put us to sleep. And it seems as though it was a primitive operation. I hope I don't insult any of you all who believe you are genuine Christians. All right. So, we are told that God caused Adam to go into a deep sleep. Now, if Adam goes into a deep sleep, that tells us he lost his consciousness. An expression, he fell asleep, or he was made to fall asleep, is a play on the fall of man. It's called a genesis, isn't it? It's called a genesis. But what is it a genesis of? A genesis only means a beginning, a start of something. So what is it a genesis of? What is it a start of? This is important to understand, so you can make your choice. It's a start of a fall. That's what it is. Read Genesis. Where is the up movement in Genesis? All the movement in Genesis is a fall. He made the man got lonesome. If I got lonesome, weary. Loneliness is a state of weariness. And Allah tells us in our religion that if we are really believers, there shall be no condition of weariness for us. So that was a fall. He was put into a deep sleep, and then here comes this primitive operation. His flesh was taken out of him. Ribs was taken out of him. And of that was taken out of him, a woman was made. And the meat was put back into the space where the rib was taken out. That sounds like a primitive operation to me. Now, if his condition was not made worse, then his functioning ability should have been good. But let's see, the serpent came along, a creature less in station than he. Came along and made a suggestion to his wife or his mate that was created of his body while he was asleep, not awake. So the serpent suggests something to that of his body that had formed his mate while he was asleep. And the suggestion is accepted by the mate. And the mate then feeds that to him while he is yet asleep. And he also eats. You ever hear people warn you? Say, look, you go and talk to a slick dude, man. Say, don't swallow everything he gives you. And the Bible said that serpent was the slickest dude in the land. Say, he was the most subtle, meaning the shrewdest, the most cunning creature on earth. That's what the Bible says. Anyway, there develops or occurs after that mating and a birth. I'm omitting some of the things. We know that the suggestion, then he ate of the tree, etc. But let's go now to the mating and the birth. that was mating with his wife, and there came a son. The first son was Abel, right? Abel. First son was Abel. And Abel must have been a pretty good son. After a while came another son. That son was Cain, right? And when Cain was born or conceived, the mother said, "Now I've gotten me a son from the Lord." Which tells us that Abel was not the apple of her eye, using the scriptural language. Abel was not her heart's desire. Cain was her heart's desire. She said, "And now I've gotten me a son, a child from the Lord." And from Cain came Jubal Cain, Tubal Cain, right? And all of the sins that mounted up until there had to be what they call a rebirth, a regeneration through Noah, right? So I go back now and ask you now, you who didn't disagree with me, are you now ready to agree with me that the Genesis in the Bible is not a going up but a fall? It's not a going up, it's a fall. And it was Jacob who attempted the upward movement. He said he rested on a stone, a pillar that he put oil upon. And there he had a vision. And he saw a ladder going up where angels could ascend and descend, go up into heaven and come back down. This is the Bible, right? This is the Bible. We know that there were another group who also attempted to go up. They are called the people who built the Tower of Babylon. But they didn't make it, right? And Jacob, he must have not made it. If he did, he must have fallen from the ladder. Because the book says he went over the heel of something with a limp. Right? Yeah. Yeah, this is the Bible. So because of a need for someone to go up and come down and yet be in good shape, the story that God gave birth to a son is fabricated. And then Jesus is said to have come down from heaven into Mary, right? But the same Bible, the same gospel says, no one has come down from heaven except he who was in heaven already. Is that not right? Yes. No one has come down from heaven except he who was in heaven already. Now, who was in heaven already? Adam. Adam was in heaven already. According to the scripture, God made him in heaven. Made him in heaven. Is that not right? So who was in heaven already? It was Adam. That's why the genesis of Jesus, his genealogy, is traced back to Adam. They say, and the son of Adam, who was the son of God, or who was created by God. This is the Bible. All right. So let us get back to this idea now of heaven and our concern. When the man went wrong in heaven and fell victim to the serpent, this all was supposed to happen in heaven. His mate was there too. For in our Quran, the language is, "Get you down from here, all of you together." They were up in heaven. Adam, his mate, and the serpent. Or Iblis in the Quran. He said, "Get you down from here all together." Kubad. Kubad means in one lump. That's what Kubad means. Kubad means get you down from here, joined together, collected together. So whatever they were operating together as a unit. It believes the man and his mate were all operating together as a unit. They were functioning as a functional unit. That's why the language school bot is given. Get you down from here all together. So the clever mind that suggests to us that we disobey God's plain guidance is not outside of us as much as it is inside of us. And the spirit of the flesh that suggests that we go astray from logic, from righteousness, from integrity, it too is not so much out there as it is right in here. For in this one body we are influenced by the suggestions of our fleshly appetites. And we are also influenced by the suggestion of our clever mind. Aren't we? But somewhere here is the innocence God created, the first Adam that he made. Somewhere, that innocent child who didn't think that way when it was born, somewhere it still exists. And that's the Adam that Allah created. Isn't that clear? Can't be made clear. No. Because that's the way it is that as if God gave it in the Quran. And if you understand it in the Bible. Yes. Get you down from here, Kubad. Get you out of this. Say, this is no place for you to behave that way. That's what Allah said to them when they began to show their own authority. Allah said, this is no place for this kind of behavior. Get you down from here into the earth. Kubad, all together, are as one functional unit. And we pray, we say, oh Allah, give me protection. I seek refuge with you from the sneaking jinn, the whisperer, of another fall of the Satan, the devil, who whispers into the hearts of human beings, or the hearts of the believers, the people. Minel jinnati wan nas, from the jinns and from the nas. Right? Okay, who is the jinn? The jinn is the flesh. The jinn is the Eve children. Now I'm talking Bible language now. The jinn is the Eve children. Now who is the nas? The nas are the people who have insight. Insight. Insight into what God revealed. They belong with the religious people. So here you have people who are motivated by flesh appetites and people who are motivated by social conscience. And those that are motivated by social conscience, they are religious. That's the way it has been in the past. Nowadays, it's different. The jinn now has taken over the social life. But if you understand it, he is not motivated socially. He is a liar. He pretends to be motivated socially to get the masses to support him. If he was motivated socially, our family condition would be better. The quality of human life would be better. His pretense that he's motivated socially is nothing but a big lie. See, ma'am, be clearer. Who are you talking about? I'm talking about communist world and the capitalist world. The communist world pretend to be interested in the social life of man. They are liars. And the capitalist world pretend to be interested under this new democratic experience that has been going on now since Wilson got strong with Roosevelt. All of these social programs came and been carried on ever since. I'm talking about these people. This side and the communist side are both liars. Big liars. If they were interested in the social life of man, again, I repeat, our social life would be in better shape. But as this progress has gone, has progressed, we have lost more and more of the good social life. And we have gotten more and more of the animal life. What is the animal life? Carry the load. Have sex, run around when you're not carrying the load, and have child fun. have baby life fun. That's, we've got more of that and less of the real social maturity. The motherhood, the fatherhood, love for the children, preparation for the coming generation. We've gotten less and less of that and more of the animal life from both Russia and America, which should tell you they are nothing but two devils, one on the left and one on the right. Now, if this is heavy for you, you shouldn't be here. That's right. So, you know, don't sit here if you're about to mess on yourself. Go on out and use the washroom and keep going. Don't ever come back. That's right. Look, we are in danger if we got weak people around us. Yes. The more the strong is get it together, the safer we are. Because Allah is with the strong. He's not with the weak at heart. But Imam, are you advocating overthrow of government? No. No, indeed. This hasn't got anything to do with the government. This got something to do with your concerns. Just change your concerns and we'll make it all right. Because this beast I'm talking about, he rules in the air. He doesn't rule in Washington. He rules in the air. According to their scripture. And the beast rose up in the form of a flying cockatrice. And another part of the Bible says, and he became prince of the air. He became prince of the air. And air represents concern. Concern. Emotional, but concern. In fact, the whole environment represents concern. But the air represents free concern. Free concern. Some of our concerns want to be disciplined in certain areas. Material concerns want to be disciplined in the material environment. Right? Right. Sentimental concerns want to be disciplined in the emotionality of our body. Right? So all concerns have to be disciplined somewhere. But there are some concerns that rise up and spread out. The air goes up and then spreads out. Right? And it engulfs the whole earth. Right? Yeah. Well, see, that's uppermost concern, isn't it? That's your uppermost concern. Yes, that's your uppermost concern. Now, the same air we find out there is needed inside. Every individual must have it inside him if he's expected to live. Right? But that air that's inside of us, it ain't satisfied until it goes beyond everything else. It wants to go beyond the material boundaries, right? The earth, the concern for material development, the land. It wants to go above the land, above the water, right? Above the mountains. Yes, it gets light up there, but it's up there. That's right. The highest mountain on earth, a human being has been able to climb it and breathe up there. So the air's up there. Oh, yes. See, the air, it encloses, or it surrounds the whole earth, or encompasses the whole earth. And the Bible says, and on the fifth day, made the birds to fly in the open heaven. Right? In the open heaven. This is the Bible, Genesis. I can't quote it word for word. But anyone who got a Bible, if you got one here, you can turn to it and you can see it right there. On the fifth day, he made the birds to fly in the open heaven. What is that a sign of? The urge to be free. Desire in the life of freedom. It ain't satisfied just to be on the land or just to go in the water. It want to be able to govern or be able to manage its own spirit. For the air is spirit, isn't it? It's called spirit. It want to be able to manage its own spirit. And we know the spirit of things go beyond the immediate body or the immediate presence of the thing. Right? So we have the land. Beyond the immediate presence of the land is what? The influences, the spirit of the land. Is that not right? So they speak of air of the land. Air of the water. Right? Yeah, you heard these expressions. Air of the land. Air of the water. Why? Because the land, it breathes. The one who takes care of his lawn and have studied some, he has some science of how to care for his lawn. He knows that the land breathes. Right? Yeah. If you've been a farmer, a garden farmer, you know that the land breathes. Because if that land gets tight, if it get a bad sinus job, no matter how much water you put on it, you ain't going to get no good growth. You got to break those rods. You got to take something and break those clods so that land can breathe. And then the land gets hot, doesn't it? And when it gets hot, it breathes more, doesn't it? Yeah. It cools off, breathing is less. Now, if it gets hot and cold all together, it's hot on this side and cold on the other side, or it really gets upset. It might then come out with a rage of air. Right? A hurricane, a tornado, something. Off the land, right? No, hurricanes off the water, pardon me. Cyclone on the land. And tornado on the land. And hurricane on the water. And typhoon on the water. Yeah. So we have these water winds and these land winds. And they are expressions, symbolically speaking, of concern, right? Yes. And they all are going up above the immediate presence of the body or the substance that's creating the concern. So the land generates concern. The water generates concern. And these concerns expand and they rise, right? Now, imagine somebody now that aspires to dominate the air. See, and he became prince of the air. He wanted to go up into highest heaven, set himself on the throne, and put himself in the image of God, or place himself as God on a throne. This is Bible. This is scripture. All right? Okay, then he became prince of the air. What does that mean? Prince over your concerns. Prince over material concerns. Prince over social concerns. Prince over political concerns. For after all, the air rises even higher than the mountains. Prince over emotional concerns. All the concerns. He become prince over these concerns because he's going to rise up in the air. And look how beautiful it is. Look, I don't know what's on your mind, but I'm following the Quran. You just don't know what I'm doing because you ain't with me. All right, look how beautiful it is. The air is one. If it's on the water, it's air. If it's on the land, it's air. If it's in the mountain, it's air. It might be a little thinner, it's not as thick, but it's air. The air is one. Isn't that not right?
You've been listening to Imam Warif Deen Muhammad.